Good morning, Connecticut, and to our friends across the Sound, it's John Voquette, Director of Public Affairs for Connoisseur Media. Thanks for tuning into our award-winning public affairs program, For the People, bringing you the latest information to help address concerns in our communities tied to youth, the economy, public health and safety, aging, education, and the environment. We're going to open this morning reminding you that thousands of households across Connecticut are facing a crisis because they can't afford to pay their utility bills. We'll check in with the Executive Director of Operation Fuel to learn why, for many in the state, keeping the power on during the summer is just as critical as keeping the heat on during the fall and winter. And we'll tell you how easy it is for every utility consumer in Connecticut to play a role in helping. Then we'll hit the road and head to Bethel to visit with two key representatives of New Arts, a nonprofit that was founded by a local parent in response to the Sandy Hook Elementary School tragedy. This program provides an all-encompassing arts curriculum with a strong element of character development achieved through its ARC program. We'll talk with New Arts Program Director Michael Unger about this summer's theater initiative and the organization's founder, Dr. Michael Baruti, about how New Arts provides young people, especially those touched by the Sandy Hook tragedy, so much more than just a summer community theater experience. And we'll close with the program director of WBDC, the Women's Business Development Council, and talk about a number of important free programs being hosted in August to help all business professionals, startups, and entrepreneurs do business better and smarter. We'll be back with these segments and more on the award-winning For the People with me, John Voquette, right after this reminder. Goodwill of Western and Northern Connecticut continues to offer platinum and gold sponsorship opportunities for this year's Get Hired Hartford Career Expo. As the state's largest annual recruiting event, Get Hired Hartford will connect thousands of prospective employees with more than 100 employers at the Connecticut Convention Center on October 5th. Goodwill is encouraging employers from all sectors of the state's economy to participate and become partners in putting people back to work in Connecticut. For more information, along with a list of participating employers, you could call 203-581-5040 or just go to gethiredhartford.com. Well, it was just about a year ago this time that we met Karen Adamson as she was coming into her new position as Executive Director of Operation Fuel. And things in terms of the need of Connecticut's residents, especially those with young children and Connecticut's elderly, don't seem to be getting a whole heck of a lot better in terms of their ability to sustain the necessary funds that they need to cover their energy costs. And as we speak, Operation Fuel's statewide network of fuel banks are taking energy assistance applications from households that are in financial crisis and in danger of having their utility services terminated. People may say, well, why in the summertime does this matter? Well, Karen Adamson is here to tell us and tell us how you can help, even if it's something as simple as checking a box on your utility bill so that one extra dollar of your utility payments can go to underwriting the Operation Fuel's important work. Karen, welcome back to the program. Happy one-year anniversary.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
So, first of all, the important question, why is it so important to be helping people pay for energy costs in the summer when it's not cold and they don't need to have their furnaces on?
Well, that's a great question. Our summer program is really based around utilities, particularly electricity. Oftentimes, as people are focused in the winter on their heating costs, they start not being able to pay their electricity costs. And then we see, once we get into the spring and summer, in May and June in particular, they get notices from their utilities that their utilities are going to be shut off. And, you know, that's just as dangerous in the summer months as it is in the winter months. We're talking about many of our clients are elderly, or certainly they're all low income, and they may be living in places where it's extremely hot, even more than it is outside. Mm. So not having any way to cool down the household, whether it be an air conditioning unit or simply a fan, can be very dangerous. And, of course, when we're talking about electricity shutoff, we're talking about refrigeration, the ability to cook food. All of these are health issues. And, again, particularly for families with small children or those families that are elderly or somebody who has a disability, we're talking a very dangerous situation.
Sure.
Not unlike what would happen in the summer, in the winter, if you were not able to heat your home.
So Connecticut has a law that I'm seeing or recalling that actually prohibits utilities from shutting off heating resources in the wintertime, right?
That's true. For those vulnerable populations,
yeah, qualified.
Those that qualify will not be shut off during the months of from November 1st to the end of April. But as I said, then what happens is then they see sometimes these arrearages that have accrued, and now they're facing shutoff. This is not because people don't want to pay, but because the costs are so high that they're not able to pay. So this is what we're looking at. You know, we're talking about households that are really struggling to make to meet just basic needs, and of course, heating and electricity is one of the basic needs, particularly in a climate like ours.
I'm seeing stats here that were provided by your associate that year-round, there are almost 350,000 Connecticut households that are energy challenged, if you will. They're either challenged to be able to continuously sustain and make their payments, or they're sort of living on the edge, maybe trading grocery money to keep their power on or their heat cooling connected and their electricity connected, or they're cutting pills in half because they need to divert some of their medication money. But the thing I guess a lot of people may not realize is so many of the people that are most challenged because they're elderly or infirm, they have a disability, or it's just a young family, maybe a single parent household. A lot of these people have, medical needs. They have to keep medication refrigerated, or they need to keep their environments cooled to a certain level. And lacking that, these people could be pitched into some situation of medical or health care, which would then accrue exorbitantly more cost to the public for that care.
Absolutely. I mean, you definitely summed up one of the messages that we try to get across to people. This is an impact on health that then has a greater financial impact, not only on that person, but on their families and the society, or the those of us who are paying for care. So this is just it is a exacerbated situation when we see these basic needs not being met. And you talked about people not maybe not paying for food, and we call that the choice to heat or eat, which is not a choice that anybody wants to make for themselves or for their children. It's really not an acceptable choice.
Right, you're trading.
So, you're trading. You really summed it up well. And we have 108 fuel banks throughout the state. Many of them are social service agencies or nonprofits that work directly with our clients. And these are first person stories that we hear directly from the people that we serve. And that is what we're trying to do here. Just making sure that all of our neighbors don't fall into that really awful decision.
Yeah. Well, it was 40 years ago that Governor Alegrasso, with the energy of my dear friend and colleague Brad Davis helped to launch Operation Fuel, and you have not taken a year off. The need has gotten greater. Can you give us a snapshot of what you're looking at right now when there is both, some call it, a kind of a budgetary crisis in Hartford, and so much unsurety in terms of support that might be coming Connecticut's way from Washington? I would imagine this has got you on pins and needles and heightens your interest in making sure people know that for as little as a dollar, which they can get diverted from their utility bill by just checking a box or notifying their utility company. You know, if every single person in the state of Connecticut who can afford to pay their utility bill and add a dollar every month, this entire process might be solved. And in fact, Operation Fuel might be going out of business, right?
Well, we've got, many different topics that you've just talked about. In terms of the federal funding, that's a funding that we call LIHEAP, which is Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program. And that is a federal program that we don't operate, but is operated through the community action agencies. Mm-hmm. And very, very important, very important. It is the primary way in which heating costs are manageable for a great number of people in the state of Connecticut. If that, and in every state, all 50 states, mm-hmm. if LIHEAP were to disappear, it would be a crisis for our state and for our country in every state, but yes. Particularly again in a difficult climate that we have here. Operation Fuel would not have the capacity to just take that over. We're a backup for that particular program, mm-hmm. and it's been necessary for us to back that up. We also have some of our funding does come from the state, so we are a bit on pins and needles right now. We've had to reduce our summer program, what we've been able to allot for that, and that was a tough choice. So, we certainly work all the time to diversify our funding, and we get a lot of supports from grants and foundations, and we're really pleased with that. But the Add a Dollar is a wonderful, wonderful program that really contributes greatly to our revenue. And as you said so well, folks need only check a box on their bill and simply add one more dollar to what they're going to pay. If everybody does that every month, it's $12 for each household, but it really adds up tremendously, and we've had a great success with that. And so it's an easy habit to get into, mm-hmm. and one that makes a big difference in helping our neighbors. And, of course, we also are very happy to receive personal donations that are much higher or even a little higher. And so we ask people to just go on our website, which is operationfuel.org, and check out all the different ways they can donate to Operation Fuel. I hope that this is resonating with people. Nobody wants anyone to be cold or to lose their utilities in the summer. So
Excellent. Those
are great ways for people to help.
Excellent. Once again, operationfuel.org is the website. You can also send donations by check to 75 Charter Oak Avenue, Suite 2-240, Hartford, Connecticut, 06106. If you'd like to write a check of any amount to Operation Fuel, they would be happy to have it. Now in their 40th year, Operation Fuel is Connecticut's statewide nonprofit program providing emergency energy assistance year-round to lower-income working families and individuals, the elderly and disabled who are in financial crisis. Their executive director is Karen Adamson. So pleased to bring her back on the program at the occasion of her first year anniversary on the job with Operation Fuel. If you need fuel assistance, it's easy to go to your phone and call 211 for InfoLine. They'll be able to help get you started. But if you'd like to help, check the box on your utility bill. Give a dollar every month. $12 a year can make a huge difference, or go to operationfuel.org to learn more about how you can help.
So we are pleased to be here at the Walnut Hill Community Church in Bethel, a guest of New Arts, a not-for-profit theatrical production organization that's based in Newtown that was recently featured in the award-winning documentary film Midsummer in Newtown. I hope you guys may have had a chance to see it. It's really incredible. And New Arts is continuing its mission of fostering healing and strength through the performing arts and character development as it produces this summer's two productions. And as we were recording this a couple of days ahead of opening, but playing it on the last day of the production here on Sunday, you can still go out and see Roald Dahl's Willy Wonka, or wait a week and check out their production of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. We're pleased to be opening the program with the director and someone who's been with New Arts since its inception, Michael Unger, whose professional resume would take up the entire rest of the segment that we have with him. So we'll just get on to the business of theater. Michael, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, John. You're very kind.
So tell me, did you know Michael Baruti before this horrific situation that we faced here in Newtown on 1214?
I did not. So would that we were not here for that reason, but we can't change the past, so we can only affect the future, and we are here to try and bring strength and healing and confidence through the performing arts and character development. So I met Dr. Baruti shortly after the concert I directed in Waterbury at the Palace Theater called From Broadway with Love. That brought me to this community for the first time, and I never left. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So was it after that the Seussical production came to be?
Yes. So shortly after the concert, Dr. Baruti contacted me through a mutual, through a producer friend who's actually from this area, and he asked if I was interested in helping start the theatrical wing of the 1214 Foundation. I said, of course. And he said, my goal is to build a performing arts center that can be a center for healing and character development and social action. And so we all got together and said, well, let's not wait 5 or 10 years till we have the money to build the building, which could be $20 million away. Let's start right now. So literally 10 weeks from the day I met Dr. Baruti, we opened Seussical, starring John Tartaglia and 84 wonderful Newtown kids.
And since then, we are approaching productions 10?
Nine and ten, including Christmas Carol, which we started last year as an annual production. It will be happening again this year at Walnut Hill,
which has a whole backstory all of its segments own at some point in the future. But suffice to say, this project has risen to a national, or dare I say global, level with the cooperative production of the documentary Midsummer in Newtown. Just give folks a little bit of a sense of how that all came together.
Well, I was sitting outside my daughter's ballet class in New York City, speaking with another ballet dad, and he asked what I do, and I told him about New Arts and the summers in Newtown, and I asked what he does. So I'm a documentary filmmaker. He was Peter Jennings' producer for many years. And when I told him about the mission of New Arts, he said, I want to make a movie about that. So he made a short trailer just to introduce the concept to some financial folks. And he got backing quicker than anything he's ever gotten before. And we didn't have the money to necessarily do the plays, but he had money to make the movie. Let me redo that. He had no trouble raising money to do the film as much as we have trouble raising money to do the plays, which we do. He produced this film that was centered on Midsummer in Newtown. He produced this film that was centered on our production of Midsummer Night's Dream a couple of years ago, and also expanded it to include the Green family.
Mm-hmm. And that was actually that was the third summer of this journey?
Actually, Midsummer was in rep with 101 Dalmatians the second summer.
Second summer.
Yes. So that was our second summer. This is our fifth.
And so that was really, I'm trying to remember it back, because full disclosure, I've been working with Mr. Unger and New Arts in another capacity for four of these five summers. And the other production, the 101 Dalmatians, was also a kind of a groundbreaking, one-of-a-kind experience.
Well, it was. I love the title, and I love the idea of 107 kids on stage playing 101 kids on stage playing Dalmatians. We had 6 non-dog actors, so we had 107 in the cast. Yes. Although I think someone told me I had 102 Dalmatians. But anyway, we're not going to quibble over numbers. But the story of Dalmatians was not really appropriate for Newtown because of Cruella's character and, you know, her mission.
Stuff that
happened. Yeah, so Dennis DeYoung, who's a friend of mine, who's the lead singer of the rock group Styx, and I got together and rewrote the script to make it very Newtown-friendly and made Cruella have an epiphany where she actually comes to appreciate the puppies that she didn't like at the beginning. So we rewrote the script for Newtown and sort of almost created a new production of that as well while we were doing the Midsummer production.
Mm-hmm. And flashing forward to now, the summer of 2017, later today you will bid farewell to Willy Wonka, but there are hopefully still some tickets left for folks that might be listening. Tell us just a bit about Willy Wonka, and then we'll talk about Joseph, which folks have a huge opportunity to come and see the entire production.
Yeah, well, we hope you'll come out this afternoon to see the show. It's at 2:00, Walnut Hill Community Church in Bethel. It stars 80 Newtown and Newtown area young performers, as well as one Broadway performer named Jim Stanek. He's got a great resume, and he's delightful with the kids. He plays Willy Wonka. And it's just a delightful story, obviously. We all know it. We've seen the films. Maybe you've seen the New York production of the new adaptation of it. The songs are taken from the film, so most of what we have on stage will be recognized from the films, especially the Gene Wilder film. But it's just a delightful production, and we're not copying the film at all, so it's very different. All the designs are very different. The settings are very different. So I think you'll find it eye-opening.
And Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat?
So Joseph opens the 11th of August and plays through the 13th, and that is featuring 75 Newtown area young performers, as well as one Broadway performer named Janet Metz as the narrator. And she actually originated the role in the Donny Osmond production, and she's on the CD, and she's quite wonderful.
She spends a lot of time, I understand, with the director.
Yes, she happens to be my wife. But she is fully qualified, and she is just terrific in this part, and I'm thrilled to have her integrate with my Newtown family in this way.
Great to have more Ungers on board.
Well, and my daughter Phoebe actually is dancing in the production.
Excellent. So I guess in closing, and before we go and meet Dr. Baruti, who kind of was the brainchild behind this whole incredible thing.
Not kind of, 100%. 100%
the brainchild. I'm interested in learning a little bit about whether the work that you have had the opportunity to do with New Arts has changed the way you approach all of the other work you do outside of this venue.
Well, it has, because, as I study to be a director, and in my directing career up to the Newtown chapter, I was trying to create great stories and tell great stories to an audience of strangers and try and move them to laughter or tears as one. And through the process here in Newtown, I've learned how much that work can also affect the performers. And working with the performers in a way that changes them through their work also changes the audience, because they're experiencing their community performing these joyous and wonderful, fun productions. But to see the effect that the performing arts and this kind of communal activity, this kind of collaborative work can have on a group of children, to see the friendships blossom, to see their confidence expand, to see them become such leaders has been quite remarkable. And this year we have a lot of people that were in the ensemble in featured roles. So the mission's working. And, we've had a lot of very heartfelt conversations where kids, have to get some feelings out, and how working this kind of way gives them permission to share things they might not otherwise want to share. And also kids that say, I would be a totally different person without New Arts. I would not have the confidence I have. I would not be able to lead the room like I do. And that is not to say it can only happen in Newtown. I assume there are wonderfully talented kids all over the country who would benefit from this kind of programming. Obviously, something horrible brought us here, but the effect it's having on these kids is spectacular, and I've seen it time after time, hundreds of stories of kids who have blossomed and grown, hearing parents tell us stories about how their entire school year is different because of their experience over the summers with New Arts. And Dr. Baruti had this vision to help his community to respond in a way that would sort of spread some joy in the world. And, you know, well, 500 kids later, I think it's working.
Well, let's turn to the founder, Dr. Baroudi, because an integral part of the New Arts Summer programs and perhaps soon with the Christmas Carol initiative is something called ARC. And we're going to find out why this also has become such a major role and player in the whole success of New Arts. If you're interested in tickets to the production today or the upcoming production of Joseph, go to newarts.org for all the information. And if you're interested or care to support this great cause, they'd be happy to have you. Michael Unger, for now, farewell, break a leg, and we'll talk to Dr. Baroudi.
Sean Boquette, thank you.
Do you love Connecticut? If you do, there are hundreds of nonprofit agencies, community groups, and grassroots causes that would love to have your support. You can learn about many of them through Love CT. Just go to our radio station website, hit the event guide tab, and click on to Love CT to help the many causes supported by Connoisseur Media. I'm Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. We'll be back to the award-winning For the People right after this news. On Friday, August 18th, the Energize Connecticut Center will conclude its Renewable Energy Summer Series with a kid-friendly exploration on water energy. The event takes place from 2 to 4 at the center on Universal Drive North in the Target Plaza, and it's free of charge and open to the public. The event will provide families hands-on activities, including interacting with water discovery table, building a water wheel, demonstrating how hydroelectric power is created, and exploring the tidal marsh trail adjacent to the center. If you'd like more information, you could call 203-799-0460 or just visit energizect.com/center.
All right. Thanks for sticking with us through the break. If you are just joining us, we are talking with representatives of New Arts, a non-for-profit theatrical production organization that's based in Newtown, Connecticut, that grew from the tragedy of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shootings. And we are with New Arts founder, the guy who conceived of this whole thing that is now approaching 10 productions deep, Dr. Michael Baroudi. He's a surgeon practicing in Danbury, but Dr. Baroudi, all these years that I've kind of crossed paths with you since this whole thing started, I never really got to ask you, it was part of your childhood thing, the idea that you'd like to be involved with or start a theater group, or are you an actor, or and just went in the direction of being a doctor?
Well, actually, I don't have any real personal experience participating in performing arts, but I've been in the audience and I've been a spectator and I appreciate the arts. Mm-hmm. So what was really important after the tragedy wasn't so much for me to do the things that I know how to do, but basically start with a blank slate and see what is the best thing for these kids in the community. And I felt that the performing arts was a very powerful way for these kids to not only heal and to express themselves and to have it as a cathartic effect on the feelings that they had, but I felt that they personally could grow, they could grow with their cohorts, and they can actually do something for their community as well.
So Michael Unger talked about how he was engaged in the benefit production at the Palace Theater in Waterbury, the Broadway tribute, and then a short time later he was sort of brought in to be considered and then welcomed as the director and has sustained through all these years and is growing the program into really a year-round initiative. When you think about Christmas Carol, really auditions being planned almost on the heels of the closing of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat this year in a couple of weeks. Tell me a little bit about the transition and, you know, you're coming into this whole situation.
Well, I didn't really realize that they were putting on another benefit concert. So I was kind of independently thinking about the various ways that I can affect the community in a positive way. And then people started telling me, you know what, you should team up with this group who just did this benefit concert. So then shortly after that, I contacted Michael Unger, and, you know, basically the goals that we had was to transform these kids, to affect the way that they see themselves as well as they see the world around them, and ways to use the performing arts in order to do that. So then Michael Unger just jumped right on that and said, okay, how about in a few weeks we put on a show? and we very rapidly kind of organized and put on our first show, which is Seussical.
For people that may have been kind of intermittently following the progress of this, it started as 1214 Foundation and has grown to become New Arts. And one of the most intriguing components is that for somebody who's done summer theater as a youth, at the age of the many that we're surrounded by here at the Walnut Hill Community Church in rehearsals for Willy Wonka as we tape this day before opening night. It was always about, doing the work of the theater to a great extent. The crew and cast and even the director and administrative people were kind of treetops. There wasn't a lot of interaction. That's completely, apparently, the opposite here. But the other really intriguing component that Michael introduced but really didn't talk much about is ARC, which, if I understand correctly, is a collaboration not only of your design, but with colleagues that you've either knew or grew to know at the Yale School of Business and another cooperative organization. Tell us about ARC and how we've arrived at the point where every single summer New Arts participant is now being availed to this really incredible system.
So one of the main components of our thinking in the first show was to bring in a bunch of professionals, high-level people, to not just perform for these kids, but to work side-by-side with them. In those situations, the kids are forced to perform and to work hard at a level that they perhaps didn't think that they could do before. And that's when they truly start to believe in themselves. So after the first show, I could see what incredible change it had on all the kids who were up on stage. But I didn't want it to be just one experience in their life that they'll remember fondly upon. I wanted it to be a transformative experience that they're actually better after being in this program than they were before. So all the confidence that they experienced, all the strengths that they felt, all the ability to control their emotions up on stage, I wanted that to be something that they can use in every other aspect of their life. So I thought, who's the type of people who do that? And it's really leadership development people. And that's when I contacted the Yale School of Management. And we developed a program that connects the dots, basically. It tells them mentally, teaches them all these different things about their strengths, how to see strengths in other people, how they develop confidence, how they can transfer confidence to other people, as well as how they can control their emotions. And that's the mental understanding. And the experience is in the arts. So it proves to them, it's almost like the testing ground for life is the performing arts.
And ARC stands for Aspire, Reach, Confidence. And the other entity, Inspire Corps, they've come on more recently, or were they in conjunction with the Yale School of Management?
So they were all when I went to the Yale School of Management, they reached out not only to the professors at the School of Management, but also to a lot of the private sector in New York City and Boston. Looked at clinical psychologists and coaching strategists and brought all these people together, and Inspire Corps was one of the teams that came within that initial group, and they led that group. So as people come and go within that group, they're the main leaders, and they're the ones who kind of continue with us.
And to wrap up, just tell us, you told us what you were hoping to see come out of this hands-on cooperative theater experience in conjunction with ARC. Just give us an illustration of what you have seen now here almost, four seasons on.
I mean, it's absolutely incredible how these kids have changed the way they see themselves. They're able to do things up on stage where they're actually stretching, and they're using their strengths, and they're using their confidence and belief in themselves to do things up on stage that they never thought they could do. And as I speak with them in the ARC program, they'll bring up many different examples of all different aspects of their life where this program has shown them that they're in control of their destiny, that they don't have to allow whatever happens outside of them to control and to manipulate, what their final outcome will be. So it's pretty unbelievable how mature they are at such a young age, and their outlook is really going to pay dividends in the future.
while the productions really are a piece of the iceberg, I wouldn't say a tip of the iceberg, but just a piece of the iceberg, we do want to share your invitation to the public to consider getting involved if they'd like to, as a supporter, as a volunteer, a contributor. They can go to newarts.org to learn about it. If they'd like to come out and see today's final production of the musical Willy Wonka, they can do that also by getting any remaining tickets off the newarts.org website, or consider coming out to see Joseph here, very conveniently located right off of Interstate 84 in Bethel at the Walnut Hill Community Church Theater. Once again, newarts.org. And I want to thank you, Dr. Michael Baruti, not just for being on the program, but for this incredible work, and Michael Unger for his piece of the program and all his great work and direction for New Arts. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, in the spirit of longtime listener, first-time caller, we're very pleased to welcome a first-timer here to the radio station, at least first-timer from the Women's Business Development Council. Normally, we're talking to Fran Pastor, who's their executive, but today we are making the acquaintance of Jen Herbeck, who handles programming. And the reason why we're bringing Jennifer on is because we've talked to Fran a lot, kind of from 5,000 feet, about the Women's Business Development Council and all the great work that they've done over these 20 years that they've been in existence, and been friends of the award-winning For the People. But they have a raft of summer programs and are ramping up for the fall. And we want to tell you about it, because in this tenuous kind of gig economy that Jen and I were talking about before we turn the microphones on, you can never have enough resources. You can never have enough networking. You can never have enough access to capital, if that is your need. And the Women's Business Development Council can perhaps serve in all of those capacities. The WBDC empowers women and men to become thriving employers and more effective employees. From starting or growing a business to increasing their income, the Women's Business Development Council illuminates business success in a very tangible and accessible way. And we'd like to bring more people on board to learn about it and maybe take advantage of it. And Jen's going to be the person who's going to direct us in that capacity by talking about some of the programs you may have access to. So, Jen, I should just let you know that as I look at the calendar here, we are probably looking at a July 23rd broadcast date for this program. So let's orient our calendar toward that and talk about things in the future. But first, a little bit about yourself. Tell us a little about yourself and how you came to be affiliated with Fran and the WBDC.
Sure. Well, thank you so much, John, for having me. I'm so excited to be here and really to be representing the Women's Business Development Council. I'll tell you, I actually have been with the Women's Business Development Council for nearly 8 years now. I was in a transition for my job and was looking for a way that I could really work with women and do really important work, work that was meaningful and helping to empower individuals with the tools they need to succeed. So I found my way to the Women's Business Development Council, met our fabulous CEO, Fran Pastore, and was sold immediately on the organization. And I've been here ever since. The rest is really history. In the 20 years, we're celebrating our 20th anniversary this year with the organization. And in 20 years, we have served over 18,000 clients here. So we're really helping to improve the economy here in Connecticut and really help support both aspiring and established entrepreneurs to really grow and lay their roots down. So I'm really excited to be part of this organization. To give you a little bit of background on myself, I actually am a social worker by trade. I have my master's in social work from Fordham University. Care very much about helping individuals, like I had mentioned before, really empower them with the tools they need to succeed. And this is right in line with that. I actually am also a certified financial social worker. So I really help clients who are coming to the Women's Business Development Council work on their personal finances and ensure that they're in good financial health to be able to move forward. And, you know, support themselves.
Hmm.
Business endeavors.
Yeah, so it sounds like you've got that kind of perfect combination of the ability to kind of get to the root of an individual's challenges in a mindful way, and to encourage and support them while having that kind of secret weapon of the financial education wherewithal to then help them kind of propel themselves to the next level.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Well said.
Right. We'll take that down. We can make that the ringtone on your phone or something if you like. So in terms of the programming, we're in the kind of in the first third, maybe approaching the halfway mark in the summer programming. How do you, as the kind of the programming specialist with WBDC, how does your yearly cycle work? When do you kind of sit back and kind of put the program together versus, launching out into the various capacities of working with all the people that come to these programs?
That's a really good question. We're constantly in either program planning or program implementing mode. So we operate similar to a school cycle or a college where we put out programs every semester. So we have our summer semester that we're in right now, which is a little quieter than say the more robust fall, winter, spring schedules that we have. But if we're not planning programs, we are implementing them. Mm-hmm. So we have a range of programs that are either one-time workshops or long-term business plan writing programs that are geared towards people in the idea planning stage, people who are maybe emerging business owners, maybe they sell a product at their local farmer's market, every year.
Mm-hmm.
Or people who are in full established businesses. They might have a manufacturing business here in Connecticut with 20 employees and are looking to expand their business. They come to us. So we really have a broad range of programs that we're always holding so that we can really meet the demand of our clients.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that we have always going on in addition to these workshops or these long-term business plan writing courses is we also have one-on-one business advising. So we can set up a client to work with an array of our business advisors, whether it's on a legal issue for their business,
mm-hmm.
or maybe they're looking to put together a mini marketing plan. That's something that needs to be reevaluated pretty regularly.
Sort of like SCORE on steroids, really. It's, you're using the full complement of your networked experts to actually come in and workshop single individual business ideas and entrepreneurial plans, right?
We are, but we have a real team here. So when a client comes to us, it's not like they're just coming in for a drive-by workshop. They've
mm-hmm.
become part of the Women's Business Development Council family. They're an extension of our family here, and we really provide a ton of support. So once you kind of get into the fold, once we get to know you and understand what your business needs are, if I see a workshop coming up that I know is going to be of interest to you, I'm going to reach out to you. I'm going to let you know about that program and make sure that you're aware and can attend that. And if not, I'm going to get you set up with a counselor who can, work with you one-on-one on a time frame that's going to be most convenient for you, because we're here to ensure long-term business success. That's really what we care about.
Excellent. Folks, if you're just joining us, we are talking with Jen Herbeck. She is a program specialist with the Women's Business Development Council, WBDC. CTWBDC.org is their website. If you'd like to follow along with us as we move into talking about the summer program and give you a little bit of teaser as to what's coming up in the fall. But before we do that, Jen, I did also want to touch base on this sort of benchmark event that the WBDC is really almost solely responsible for making happen, and that's kind of the Women's Business Day, which is at the Capitol annually. It is proclaimed by the governor typically as Women's Business Day in Connecticut on the days of those activities. This is something that has really elevated the WBDC to a new level. Of course, Fran was very engaged in Washington on a national level with business development, but this has really kind of brought WBDC home in a big way and has made kind of put it up into marquee status.
Well, thank you. Yes, we had an outstanding fourth annual Women-Owned Business Day at the Capitol. It was the most well-attended event that we have had there to date. It's pretty unbelievable. We had a theme that day for Women-Owned Business Day, and it was called Let Women's Voices and Worth Be Known. And out of the 187 legislators in the state, we had 160 of them there present for the actual event. They are supporting and showing up to show support for women's economic equity. So we were so thrilled. We had nearly 200 attendees at any given point. A lot of people come in and out based on because they were in session. Mm-hmm. So it was a very, very busy day, active day. We had 16 different presenters there, and tons of our clients and small business owners were there to have their voices heard. So the event gave attendees the opportunity to speak directly, you know, with their elected officials. People were having fun with their elected officials in front of our banner outside, you know, showing what their product was and really getting to know, the legislators had an opportunity to get to know some of the small business owners that are in the regions that they're serving.
Mm-hmm.
And we had all different business leaders there, and it was just really, it was pretty profound when you step back, even if you weren't listening to what was going on that day, which was impactful as well, but just looking at the amount of support that was there to say, hey, the work of the Women's Business Development Council is absolutely critical to the state of Connecticut and helping, the economy here.
Right,
just plain and simple. I mean, do you know that in 2016 that over 110,000 women-owned businesses generated a total of $16.5 billion in sales in Connecticut? I mean, it's huge.
That is.
So the impact that, you know, women business owners are having on the state is really important. So it's really important that, you know, the work that we're doing and the support that we had there. So it was a great event. Looking forward already to next year's event, but it was a big one this year, especially celebrating our 20th anniversary.
Very good.
As the leader of entrepreneurial training in this state.
Fantastic. Well, we don't want to short folks on hearing about all of the programs that you helped develop now for the summer, and maybe a hint as to what they're going to see in the fall and winter. And it's interesting to see when we're looking at what's coming up beginning in August, a couple of weeks from our broadcast, that it's all about raising them up right, because you have a workshop scheduled on how to talk to your kids about money. Why is a program like that so important to an organization that helps develop women, a business, professionals, and entrepreneurs?
It's absolutely critical that we raise our children to be financially knowledgeable with how to manage finances. It's just not a subject that is taught in the school system, though it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And when you empower a woman and her family to be able to be financially savvy and make really smart decisions, whether it be budgeting decisions or savings or investment choices, you empower her entire family. So it's absolutely critical that we give people the tools to be able to talk to their children and teach them how to talk to them about money and, mm-hmm. and teach them the value of a dollar and how to spend a little, how to save a little, maybe how to invest a little.
Mm-hmm.
So it's absolutely critical. I'll tell you, as a mother of two myself, the first thing I did when my kids came home from the hospital was to open investment accounts for them, their 529 accounts.
And I guess the best
thing... You can never start saving soon enough.
And the best thing about this program is that it's a webinar. And although you require pre-registration, it's absolutely free. So in 90 minutes... anybody, man or woman, any age, even even teens or adolescents, could webinar into this workshop on how to talk to your kids about money and benefit from that program. So that's great. Folks, once again, if you do want to learn more about or get involved with any of these programs, you can do so through ctwbdc.org. Next coming up in August is a workshop or a, I should say a seminar, just a quickie 1 hour event down at the Women's Business Development Council satellite office in Derby, Connecticut. Again, no charge, is a talk on licensing and registration in Connecticut. Why is that so important, Jen?
When somebody is looking to start a business, they need to first start with what registration requirements are there for my field of work. Do I need a special license? I can tell you as a social worker, I need to be licensed. I am a licensed master of social work. And there are different licenses. You know, next door we have a local small business here, a hair salon. You need a license. So we have an expert coming to talk to you about all of the licensing requirements and what you need to do to get your licenses and, you know, what the dues are annually or biannually and, you know, really be able to answer all of the questions that somebody might have. Mm-hmm. And it's nice because it takes away the red tape from contacting the state, trying to do your research and uncover who do I even talk to with these licensing and registration questions I have. You bring all of those questions here, you get FaceTime with your expert here, and you'll walk away with all the answers you need.
Fantastic. And going hand in hand with the necessary licensing and registration, keeping it legal here in Connecticut, is you really can't begin to get financing, even if it's from a kindly uncle, typically, unless you have some sort of a plan. And that leads into the 2-hour business plan boot camp that's coming up on Wednesday, August 16th at the WBDC's home offices in Stamford.
Mm-hmm. So the business plan boot camp is a great one for people who are looking to really come up with a quick, succinct plan for their business. So we do have a longer-range business plan writing course, our GPS Guide to Plan for Success course, which will be offered in the fall. But for those people who are already thirsty and really just want to jump in and get started on their business plan, they'll attend this boot camp and leave with a really succinct template on what they need to do to walk away with a draft of their business plan. So it's really a quick and dirty and right down to the nuts and bolts of what they need. Mm-hmm. So somebody with a really defined business concept or even somebody who's already in business but hasn't taken the time to properly put together a business plan would be an appropriate fit for that class.
And the summertime menu of programs ends up with yet another webinar, pre-registration required, but no charge for anyone participating, is Building Your Business with the State of Connecticut. And although, I mean, you have to be living in a deep, deep cave to know that there isn't some, financial issues going on here in Connecticut or in kind of a challenged time, that doesn't mean that government and all of its entities just kind of shut down and roll over. There is always business going on, and the state needs good, savvy, creative, and engaging people to get involved with it. So I imagine that's what this webinar is about.
Absolutely. It's all about how to solidify and nail down those state contracts. So you meet with someone from the state level who can really help you navigate the application process and talk to you about what it means to be state certified, can talk you through the fees, and also talk you through kind of the red tape and all about the relationship building you need to do with people who are in charge of those, those procurement departments for, buying supplies or products. I'll tell you, we have a client with a manufacturing company in Hamden, KTT Enterprises, and our client over there, she secured work with the state up at the Capitol, and she replaced all of the foam seats, like the foam that's in the seat mm-hmm. of the chairs at the Capitol. So that's an example of a really great contract that you can land with the state. So you really have to think creatively about what your product or service is, and if you make it, they probably will be buying it.
Fantastic. Great. Well, before we go in the last minute or so that we have with you, Jen Herbeck, give us a little hint as to what's on the radar for the fall and winter. Do you have anything that's brand new and never before done with BDC in terms of programming, or if in lieu of that, something that is extremely profitable and has proved to be a very successful program that you're hosting again?
Yes. So WBDC has become a small business lender. We now have the Women's Business Development Council Capital Loan Fund. So it's a program that will give small business loans to startup and emerging businesses up to $10,000 capital for their business. Mm-hmm. So there's a small application that's involved. We're really flexible. We have a ton of support here with an array of business advisors who will work with the clients to work on their application. It's very quick, and to help them get their financial documents in order, apply for the loan, get the loan out there, make the business loan, and then work with them to make sure that they use that money in the most effective way that they can to help grow their business. So it's really a really, really, really unique program. We have really competitive interest rates starting as low as 7%. It's a really attractive package for emerging businesses.
Fantastic. Jen, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us this morning and to give us a hint as to what's in store for the rest of the summer programs, as well as reminding us about this very unique and yet very successful lending program with WBDC, the Women's Business Development Council. Through their workshops, one-on-one coaching, and training programs, the WBDC delivers business and financial education that makes a difference in people's lives. They help women and men reach beyond where they are now and grow their business, their ideas, their inspirations to the next level. Jen Herbeck is a program specialist with the WBDC, and we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us this morning. Jen, learned a lot. Thanks for hosting us. You've been listening to our award-winning public affairs program, For the People. The opinions expressed on this broadcast represent those of our guests and host and do not necessarily represent the views of Connoisseur Media. If you have a suggestion for a guest, an issue, or a community calendar item relevant to the audience and communities we serve, you must make a request for consideration in writing via email to me at john.vocat@connoisseurct.com. We do not accept pitches or requests for coverage by phone. Remember, no part of this program may be copied, disseminated, or rebroadcast. Our public file, reflecting the full scope of our station's responsiveness to critical issues in the communities we serve, can be viewed upon request weekdays during normal business hours in the New Haven area at 440 Wheelers Farms Road in Milford, and for our Hartford stations at 869 Blue Hills Avenue in Bloomfield. Our theme music is by Rick Miller and Scott's, with original music by Noel Viette. This is John Vocat, Director of Public Affairs for Connoisseur Media. Join us again at this time next week for more conversation and information on the award-winning For the People. Don't forget, you can listen to this and other For the People podcasts anytime on iTunes or under the podcast tab at our radio station's website. Until this time next week, thanks for listening.